We all know that the harbors are Hawaii's lifeline, and you may not give shipping a second thought as you reach for that can of Spam or that roll of toilet paper. Well, we were dockside when Matson's newest ship, the Lurline, made its maiden voyage to Honolulu last month. That's a sense of the rumblings on a working wharf. And today we hear part of a conversation with Matthew Cox, CEO of Matson Navigation, about the company's plan to reinvigorate its fleet. It's spending $1 billion to add 4 new ships. The Lurline is the 3rd in line and is the largest and fastest vessel in the company's long history. Captain Matson named his daughter after the first ship bearing the name Lurline, and this is the 6th ship taking on that name. Previous vessels included luxury passenger liners, but this new container ship stretches out over 3 football fields and features its own ramp and has a greener footprint all around.
It's an exciting time for Matson. There are significant efficiencies that are being built into this fleet renewal. The biggest benefit to us is that because these ships are bigger and faster, we're able to operate with 1 fewer fleet unit. So we're going to go from a 10-ship deployment to a 9-ship deployment. That will allow us to cover the same amount of cargo that's required into the islands every week with 1 less ship. And if you were operating a power plant or a utility, it'd be like operating the same utility with 1 less plant. So there's efficiencies that are built into it. It lowers our emissions impact and our environmental footprint. These ships have got all the latest technologies for safety and environmental compliance, and they're just beautiful ships. They're fast, they're big, and we're excited about it. They're much more efficient, they consume less fuel, they're able to burn different kinds of fuel. The fuel tanks are in places between the cargo holds, so if the, God forbid, we should strike the bottom of the ship, or not, there's no fuel going into the water. They have emission cleaning systems. They have ballast water, which is used to balance the ship. The ballast water is treated, again, all around minimizing the environmental impact of the ships. The generators aboard the ship are EPA Tier 3 compliant, which means they're the most efficient engines that are basically in the world today. And so it's exciting.
And so how does this ship compare, how does it stack up to other ships built in other countries?
So the ships that are built for Matson were built specifically for the Hawaii trade. And so I would say that the ships are less expensive to be built in overseas in foreign countries. The ships that we build are built to operate for 40 years. So the strength of the steel, the structural elements, these are all built in such a way to have a very long life. And so, and the quality and care that goes into this, US shipyards are more expensive than international shipbuilding facilities, but no one builds a better ship in the world than the United States shipyards. One of our goals and objectives as a company is to meet or exceed all environmental standards. And we have a long tradition of doing that. On January 1 of this year, the IMO, which is the International Maritime Association, which is a subset of the United Nations globally, changed the fuel requirements that just came into effect. And on January 1, you can't burn fuels that have more than 0.5% sulfur. And before, you could burn up to 3.5% sulfur in the bunker fuel or the fuel that we use to operate these engines. And so that sounds like a small difference, but sulfur is a natural lubricant. And so changing the chemical composition of the fuel to meet very worthy environmental standards creates design changes, engine changes, lubricant changes, and there's a lot of technology that goes beyond into that change. So part of this fleet investment relates to making sure we were staying current with more stringent environmental standards that continue to evolve. And so the other benefit is, you know, it's thought worldwide that thousands, tens of thousands of people die each year who are at risk for respiratory illnesses and those kinds of things. So the idea of these new fuels were to minimize the amount of deaths that that occur annually as a result of sulfur in the exhaust stacks of vessels.
So it's a cleaner, greener ship.
It's a cleaner, greener ship, yeah.
And so can you talk about the capability of burning liquefied natural gas?
Yeah, so these vessels were designed to eventually be converted to LNG. And what we did at the time that we spec'd the ship was that we built the ship bigger than it needed to be so that we could accommodate two very large LNG containers that have not yet been put aboard the vessel. We built the engine, or we selected the engine, that would be able to burn that type of fuel. So this vessel is ready to be converted to LNG, but to us what was less clear at the time was, is there a commercial source of LNG on the West Coast in a port location for which we could use it as a fuel supply? And up to this point in time, there is no LNG facility or a LNG facility on the coast that could discharge and move via barge or something that could fuel our ships. And when that occurs, we're going to be taking a hard look at converting these vessels, who were specifically designed to be converted to LNG, when that fuel becomes available on the West Coast. So when that happens, we'll be ready. We're on a journey, which is what's expected of us, to continue to find ways in which to reduce our environmental footprint. But we are definitely lowering the amount of CO2 that we're putting into the air, and we feel like it's our and every other company's obligation to do that.
There's been a lot of talk about the harbor modernization plan. Can you talk about how this works with the cranes?
So the nice part here with the new vessel is you can see right behind me the three brand new cranes. Those cranes were needed because the cranes that are just beyond them, the other three, are too short and don't reach out far enough to be able to handle and pick up and unload cargo on the four new vessels. And so we needed, as part of a group investment, to be able to produce or work with new cranes and have them installed in order to make full use of this vessel. Our older vessels can still use, in fact, you'll see just a vessel in front of this one that's our previous generation of vessels, and you can see that the booms and the crane height is a little bit lower, and so part of this is meant to work together. These cranes, we've upgraded our electric system. These are very efficient crane hoists that reduce the amount of energy load. They also, during the discharge of the vessels, like an electric car, generate electricity as they're bringing down the containers and putting that into a battery system that will again reduce the amount of electricity that we consume as part of the loading and unloading process. It's like a braking on a Tesla. You're basically producing more battery energy. It's the same concept with these cranes.
The FAA had to step in, right? I mean, aren't they having to change flight patterns because of the larger cranes?
Yeah, so we work closely with the state and with DOT and the FAA to make sure that we are not in the flight path. So FAA is concerned that if a plane took off and it was only on one engine, would it have adequate clear way to be able to avoid the cranes? And so we work very carefully with them. They're in the process of relocating an older radio tower that's in place to be able to create adequate pathways for a plane if it were to get into trouble from not hitting a crane or having plenty of room to avoid the cranes. It's really construction activity that moves the needle for us. So the basic replenishment for the consumers here in Hawaii to meet tourist demand and the military has been relatively flat. We've seen a healthy but steady construction environment. So in a more robust construction environment, we would expect to see more volume. So our expectation into the future is we'll see the economy here is still growing, and that's terrific. It hasn't translated into significant additional freight volumes, but when we build our fleet and our networks, we're building it for the next 30 and 40 years. And so we wanted to build these ships with plenty of capacity to grow, so as the island economy grows over time, we're able to accommodate that growth when it occurs.
That was Matson CEO Matthew Cox. The company will welcome a sister ship to the Lurline, the Matsonia, later this summer. The Lurline was scheduled to arrive in Honolulu Harbor at around noon today in its second month of service to the Hawaiian Islands from the West Coast.